Hello, listeners. This is Paula Scataloni. Transformative Harmonics is an academy for individual and planetary healing rooted in ancient wisdom and modern science. We are here for those who are interested in being guided back to soul so they can step into their signature frequency and be in service of humanity. If you've been looking for a place to land and settle down, develop community, and dive into the psyche and soma in a way that is supportive, trauma-informed, and integrative, then our programs are here for you now. Our monthly membership circle is available for those looking for a one or twice a month option for themselves and supported by my writings and somatic practices and sound journeys through Substack. Our immersive program is a deep dive into your own, your ancestral, and the collective, so you can go through your own initiation and transformation into your signature frequency with a small, intimate cohort. These groups are closed, and they only open every other month. So please reach out to me if you're interested in one of our upcoming groups. If any of these programs feel like they resonate with you, go to my website, paulascataloni.com, and fill out an application or sign up for a discovery call. I'm happy to meet with you and give you more information to help you make your decision. We would love to meet you and bring your wisdom into the circle.
Welcome. I'm your host, Paula Scataloni, the founder of Transformative Harmonics, a podcast that offers listeners a synthesis of ancient wisdom and modern science.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Transformative Harmonics. This is Paula Scataloni, your host. Today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to meet someone who I was introduced to by a member of my community. And we ended up being kindred spirits, and that we had a very similar path of coming from traditional therapy into an expanded version of what it means to be a helper, healer, change agent, and provider. And those that are in the wellness community who are making this transition and are ready for change will likely find this to be a very helpful conversation, not only resourcing and validating, but also give you a lot to think about. I will say in this conversation, I'm going to put a trigger warning because there is something a little vulnerable and can be activating. We will mention an event that occurred to Carrie as a catalyst for her awakening. If you feel your nervous system is not open to hearing about that, then you can pause and skip that section of the conversation. We've kept it very brief, but I do want to let people know in advance. So Carrie Nola is affectionately known by her community as the Shadow Mama, the Queen of Receptivity and Midwife of Remembrance, where she works in the liminal spaces, illuminating shadows into truth so the soul can be guided back into resonance. Her work is devoted to support creators, healers, and spiritually embodied entrepreneurs as they reclaim their capacity to receive, share, serve, and live in devotion to what is real. Carrie began her professional path as a licensed psychotherapist, building a thriving private practice over more than a decade. In 2017, she stepped away from conventional clinical work and answered a deeper soul calling. Since then, her work has expanded into mentoring, writing, and teaching, and the creation of a global initiation-based container for those walking an awakened, embodied path. Today, Carrie stands for those who are ready to transmute their fear into fuel, activate their dormant codes of purpose, and restore harmony between giving and receiving in service to divine will. Her offerings, most notably the Receptivity Portal, a remembering mystery school, and Messages from Shadow Oracle Deck and Healing, invites humans into deep self-honesty, reverence for the unseen, and embodied integration. I hope that you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. Carrie is a featured guest faculty in our new academy, and I'm thrilled to introduce her to you today through this podcast episode. Welcome, I'm Paula Scatoloni. This is Transformative Harmonics, and you're back for another week with a special guest. I have Carrie Nola here today, and I'm so excited because we are going to talk about everything from multidimensional healing work, how to transition from being a traditional provider into something different, the catalyst for awakening, and following your soul. And if those are topics that you've been interested in and you're ready for a discussion about that, go ahead and take a deep breath and find your chair, feel the support of what's underneath you, and slow down so that you can receive what we are about to talk about today. Yeah. So welcome, Carrie.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Paula. Great to be here. Finally, we've been talking about it.
I know. I'm thrilled. And I know we have had similar paths, and I love being able to gather those that are walking that line between, you know, traditional knowledge and wisdom about the psyche and spirituality, you know, and embodiment and all the things that we do in our program. And so you are one of those people that are, you have your hands and feet and legs and arms in different places. And so it feels super important to bring you on today. So thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Great to be here. So curious how we're going to weave.
Yeah. Well, we did have a talk beforehand. So I have a sense of where we're going. And for me, after listening to your story a bit, I do believe that there's so many places where you're bringing your wisdom and your knowledge, both from, you know, what you know and what you were trained in, and then what's emerging from your soul at this moment. So you're a weaver. And so it feels good to start with this question of, you know, why are you here at this time? And what, you know, what brings you to this place of being of service in the role of leadership and this catalyst for those, and to start there, and then we'll let the background roll out from there.
Yeah, beautiful. I was in meditation last night, and something, a piece of clarity clicked, and it was like my soul really came to help people see what they've been conditioned not to see, and to remember what they have forgotten how to remember. And I feel like that is a thread that weaves through all the work that I do, whether I am, you know, taking somebody through an aerial somatic journey in the swing, whether I'm doing a shadow healing transmission, whether I'm teaching in the portal or with someone one-on-one at a retreat. I mean, there's just this invitation to look deeper into the mystery of life and to really illuminate the things that have been hard to see. Sometimes we don't even know that they're there. And I feel like now more than ever, the veil is thinning, and we do have more accessible pathways to awaken. And I feel really humbled to be a guide on that journey for those who feel resonant with my vibration.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's all about vibration, right? And inviting people in. So let's create some space for you to talk some more so people can feel your resonance. It's beautiful. One of the things that makes us similar is we're both coming from the field of psychotherapy with this traditional background. And then there was this catalyst, right, that kind of catapulted us into this new area. And so if you could share a little bit about your journey and that catalyst and kind of bring people into the story.
So I was a newly licensed therapist. It was 2008. I was just a baby therapist, really loving what I was doing. And I was hit with two losses 3 weeks apart in 2008. First, my grandmother passed of natural causes, and then my intern was murdered. And I thought that kind of thing was something you see on, you know, Dateline or 2020, but I never expected that to be a part of my personal experience and now a piece of my life story. It really took me into a traumatic grief response. It was such an unnatural way of leaving this world, and we didn't know who was responsible for it. So very practical, like safety concerns. She had keys to my office that were on her at the time. Do we know this person? Where are they? So I felt very scared to exist in the world. Like this danger that felt like out there was now in here. And I was seeing a therapist and doing some EMDR, and it was giving some relief, but it really wasn't touching like the real core. And I had a history of anxiety and panic disorder prior to this. So I think this really just latched on to that pathway and deepened it, tightened its grip. And so one day in my therapist's office, I saw a sign for a breathwork session for grieving healers. And I thought, well, that's awfully specific. And I certainly, that felt like one of those God winks. You're like, you can't really make that up. I mean, it's not just breathwork for grief. It's like, no, you, like, you, it's for you, lady. And it wasn't even my therapist that was hosting it. She had a colleague who she admired her work and was sharing the flyers. And so I called and had a consultation, and she accepted me into the space. And I didn't know anything about breathwork, and this was holotropic breathwork in particular. So a very deep journey involving sound. It's 3 hours of the breath and then a very transpersonal integration process where you make a mandala and debrief with the group. And in that session, my maternal grandmother came to me and she said, I want to show you something. And she showed me the moment of my intern's passing. She showed me a figure, I don't know who, and my intern meeting on this path. And the figure said, are you ready? And she said, yes. And he said, do you still want to follow through with our soul agreement? And she said, yes, thank you for your willingness to do this for me and for all that will transpire for everyone on the other side of this. They shook hands, their images dissolved, and my grandmother said, forgive everyone in advance. They're already sorry. And it reorganized me and my inner being in such a way that I couldn't go back to how I had seen the world, what I thought was happening, how I perceived bad things. And my PTSD also left in that moment. I no longer had to sleep with the lights on. I didn't have to have people staying with me 24/7. I had no more heart palpitations, no more ruminating thoughts, no more terrified to leave the house. It was just all evaporated. And if you had told me that would happen before, I never would have believed you. It really was, I think, a part of my soul path to be, to me, it was an initiation. It was no longer helping people with hard things from my mind, doing what school told me to do. It was an embodied experience of I have survived a hard thing and I have a way of perceiving it that feels like truth in my body. And I'm able to now hold space from that place of deep embodiment. And I never told anyone, certainly didn't bring it into my practice, because this is a high-level spiritual truth that when shared at the wrong moment is weaponizing, you know, and bypassing, right? So certainly I'm holding this so that I can hold others in, but we also have to feel anger. We also have to feel scared. Whatever's true to be processed, that's a part of it. But something really interesting happened when I got back to my practice the next week. over the course of the week, I'm seeing people one-to-one. I was a trauma therapist, and three people that week, in their own way, said to me something to the effect of, "You don't hate the person that hurt me anymore."
Hmm.
And I was shocked because I didn't say this to anyone. I certainly wasn't articulating it in the work, but it was in me. And so it was in the space. And I said, "You're right. You know, what does that mean for our work together? And how does that impact you?" And, you know, they all said something to the effect of, you know, the parts of me that are angry and hate the person that hurt me want you to join me in that and are worried that you don't anymore. And the parts of me that love the people that hurt me, because often it was, you know, family violence, feel relieved that we can talk about that care and that part of the truth without judgment. And we didn't talk about it much anymore beyond that. But I noticed that my neutrality allowed for their healing to unravel in profound ways that were not attached to my judgment or, yeah, criticism of what people do or don't do in relationship to other people. And yeah, really informed the remainder of my work, my practice. I ended up working with some of the most profoundly hurt human beings. I think it's relevant to say now, as the Epstein files are being revealed, that one of my specialties was mind control deprogramming and ritual abuse. People who survived horrific things beyond our wildest imagination. And they were so incredibly resilient. And I believe that I had that healing so that I was available to support that in a way that didn't collapse me or crumble me, because I knew what was ultimately true with a capital T. And so I could be in this dimension and hold space for the unraveling of those wounds so that they could find the pieces of their soul again and reintegrate them and allow their true essence to feel safe enough to emerge on the other side of that.
Wow. That is an incredible story. Incredible. And I feel some alliance with you in grief being a catalyst, and how painful that is for the provider and all this, the slew of things behind when a provider, when a colleague or a client passes, and you still have to show up to do what you do. You don't get to take a month off, and then the initiation process and your ability to realize you were in the middle of initiation. Did you know when you're in the middle, or if it was afterwards you look back and said, "Oh, that was an initiation"?
It was after the fact. I mean, I want to just speak to, you know, this is nearly 20 years ago now, so I have digested this. This is one of the greatest gifts of this life. I'm so moved every time I talk about it and remember it, because had that not happened, it shaped me in such a profound way. Like, my work wouldn't be what it is today. I wouldn't be who I am today. But did I know that? And was I grateful for it the first many years? Absolutely not. It was horrible. I wanted it to stop. I didn't like it. And I was angry and didn't know why this had to happen. And I was questioning. But as time went on, and as I looked back, I could appreciate it for the initiation that it was.
Mm, incredible. Incredible. So in this journey, there was a lot of then surrendering to what you were being invited into as a space holder and someone who deeply understood I think what you're talking about is the universal principles underneath healing, which is the power of presence and neutrality. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of it is the undoing of our ego so that we can show up in that way. So very powerful. And as you proceeded from that catalyst into what was then being presented, somehow you ended up shifting into what is behind you as well, which is bringing in more of the body and more spirituality and more somatics.
Yes.
So what was that transition like?
So it's interesting because they're like bookends, right? This healing and catalyst that we're talking about came first, and then this is the most recent addition to my body of work. The aerial somatics, anything that I do is something that I've first personally benefited from or experienced. I feel like we can only ever take people as far as we've gone, as deep as we've gone. And I also just need to have a modality in my body before I offer it. And when I moved to California in 2017, I met an incredible bodywork practitioner who held me in the somatic swing. And I just thought, wow, this is so profound. It touches something so much more deeply than anything you could ever talk about or work through in other ways. It took me back to the womb and literally just rewired, reorganized, restructured. I could feel my cells changing. It was like you're having this experience of not talking about being held. It's not this esoteric, like, it's beautiful when we can feel, you know, our ancestors coming in and we can feel the world holding us. We can feel the earth holding us. But this was literally, I'm suspended in the swing and like, it's holding me and I can feel the fabric, like there's a physical sensation and I can feel her touching, you know, my body on the outside and moving me in ways that's moving my fascia, that's opening my lymphatic system, that's just retraining my body to return or to upgrade into a way of structuring itself that allows my soul to live more comfortably in this vessel at this time.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah. And I always knew that the body was a part of the healing. One of the reasons I let my license go was partly because I was moving to another state and didn't want to go through that process, but also because I was doing things that were not really a part of or supported by the licensure. I always touched my clients in a healing way. I always channeled messages from the other side. I always did what I felt was in the highest integrity and truth in the moment. That to me is the highest thing that I answer to more than a governing body or somebody that's not in the room with me or us when I'm doing the sacred work. And I started to feel like I was getting too far away from what I had agreed to with this piece of paper and this licensure to continue being in right relationship with that. Yeah, with the license.
Yeah. I do feel there's many right now that are working to expand the domains of what constitutes, especially, you know, we know with early developmental work, I use sound, you use the aerials to, you know, recreate the conditions that allow for the material from 0 to 3 to really change. You have to recreate that experience a lot. This is what holotropic breath work does. This is what sound does. This is what aerial does. So, so I do feel there's a upgrade in therapy that needs to kind of realize that, you know, that
Absolutely.
Talking about 0 to 3 doesn't work because that's not the domain of where things happen.
We weren't
brain,
talking
right?
then.
We weren't talking.
We were communicating, but not
yeah,
talking.
But not talking. So you're we're definitely in some overlapping areas. And so in between this, there are some other things that happened to you between the aerial and that traditional that have to do with shadow work and tarot cards. And so let's lean into that area of the story a little bit and help us to fill in some blanks there.
So in 2008, when this grief catalyst occurred, I then just went into applying that and living into that in my practice. But around 2014-ish, I started to have a dark night of the soul, which I think they should rebrand that because I call it a dark season of the soul because it's never just one night. No. I'm like, we have been lied to. I'm like, one night I could do that. What is this? Days, weeks, months, years. It's like, this is so I've rebranded. I call it the dark season of the soul.
Great. Let's make a t-shirt.
I survived the dark season of the soul. Oh, so good. We're going to have a merch line, Paula. I think it should be a part of the academy. Yeah. So for me, this dark season of the soul was an incredible physical body things that couldn't be diagnosed with traditional medicine. They were telling me your numbers are fine. Like everything looks good. We don't know what's happening to you. But I'm like, why is my heart palpitating out of my chest? Why is my back in excruciating pain? And I'm like, in my 30s, like this isn't adding up. Why can't I get up off the floor? Why do I have to do sessions on the phone, laying on a yoga mat? And like, I can't go into my office. Like, what is going on? And one of my spiritual teachers said, I said to her, I feel like I'm dying. Like, and they're just missing something. And she said, you are. And I, you know, freaked out. And she said, but not the way you think. You're going through an ego death and you don't want to, you're holding on for dear life and you need to let go. And I said, let go of what? And she said, well, that's for you to figure out. But, you know, you're not who you think you are. And your refusal to admit that, to acknowledge that, to see that is creating a lot of dis-ease and, you know, discord in your body. And I didn't know what she was talking about, but I had seen her for a long time. And I actually had met her during my time of grieving, and she had been a companion on my healing path for many years. So I knew her well enough to know that this was probably true and I was missing something. So I was meditating. I would take it into my practice. I said, if there's something I'm missing, I'm open to seeing it. Please show me. But I could still feel I was resistant. I was holding, you know, it was scary to imagine what could be revealed. What do I not know about myself? Like I am myself. I'm living as myself. What could be hiding, you know? And I was turning to things like angel cards. You know, I wasn't that versed in the tarot. So, but I was a lot of angel cards and more. And they kept telling me things like, you're on your path. The angels are with you. I'm like, that doesn't fucking help me right now. Like, I feel like crap. Yeah, we're always on our path, but like, when does this end? Like, what do I need to know? Like, please, something more than this. Like, this isn't helpful. And I was in meditation one day, just basically on my knees, like, what help? What is going on? And all of a sudden, I started hearing these words, and they were coming fast, and I knew to grab a pen, and I started writing them down. And they were things like control, self-sabotage, manipulation, power, victim consciousness. And I'm like, what is this? So I write them down. There's 33 of them came through at that time fast. I mean, within like minutes. And I'm sitting with this and I just heard, these are messages from your shadow. I'm like, what? What's going on here? And over the course of the next 9 months, this body of work revealed it to me as the messages from Shadow Oracle Deck and Healing System. And it became the thing that helped me see what I was struggling to see, which was I am a spiritual being having a human experience. And I was trying to operate solely from my intellect. And yes, I had started including spirituality and parts of my body, but really it was quite private. Like I wasn't talking to anybody about it. I certainly wasn't holding myself out as a wisdom keeper, a medicine woman, a spiritual teacher. Like I'm a therapist. I was very attached to that title in a very traditional, conventional way. I had a clipboard. I had my cardigan. Like, that was me. Like, it was.
I know
clear,
that one.
Right?
I know that one, yes.
And they were like, that's not you. Like, that's a part of your expression, but there's more. And I began bringing these cards into sessions. Clients were seeing things that, you know, they couldn't see before. And I realized these are a cosmic mirror showing us things that are in here that we otherwise wouldn't see. And they also correlate with the chakras. I intuitively designed them with an artist friend of mine, childhood friend, interestingly enough. And we would go into the dream space and meet there at night. And in the morning, we'd come and we lived far apart. So we would meet on Zoom. And she would say, I saw orange. And I would hold up a paper with orange scribble. I mean, we were just so there. And eventually they told us to, the shadow guides told us to create 33 images and then write the 33 words, and they would match the word with the image, because the images are multidimensional. They're five layers deep and they're encoded with the healing. Now, I've just pulled a card at random. I'll show you the light image. This is what they paired with light. I mean, we did this. We crumpled up the paper, the word light, and then the images. And this image was paired with the light card. It's a beam of light. You know, that's how I knew, like, this was so far beyond me or anything my mind could do. The grief card, like, literally has like this dark, you know, moving toward the light. It's like, wow. So I came out of the closet and admitted I'm more than a therapist. I also do this thing with these cards, and I can also hear things and know things. And I remember doing an intuitive development workshop and invited my clients. I thought, well, women, you know, connecting with their intuition, that could be a good thing. So let's gather. They all came, and I think it's my coming out party, right? So I say, you know, I've got something to tell you guys, you know, and so I start announcing it, and they're all looking at each other and looking around. And I did a lot of retreats and group work, so a lot of them knew each other. And I said, why are you making that face? Like, why are you guys looking at each other? And they're like, Carrie, that's why we see you. We know this about you. This isn't a secret. I'm like, it's not. I don't have it on my website. They're like, you don't have to. We feel you. Like, we know you're not like the rest of them, or, you know, you're not doing the traditional thing. So
it's great.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So you didn't have to come out. I love it. I love it.
It's like who you are, I guess, just radiates outward, it's right? As much as we try to hide it, other people can reflect us back to, oh, yeah, that's what I see when I'm with you.
It's your radiance. Wow. So the cards came as a gift and a download to bring to the world at this time. There's, you know, probably one of the tools to support the
They're
awakening.
They're 10 years old this year.
Wow.
So I just realized that. I'm like, wow, these were born in 2016, and it took exactly 9 months. So if you think of that in terms of from conception to birth, 10 years old, a decade of working and, you know, being, you know, in the environment. And I feel like now more than ever, they're really available and anchored in this dimension enough to really be of service in the ways that people could benefit from them. Because a lot of shadows are coming to light right now, and they're not just collective. Like, we made that collective. So we got to look at our stuff too.
Hello, this is Paula Scatoloni. Thank you for listening to the Transformative Harmonics podcast. If this conversation has been interesting to you, I invite you to look at our new Transformative Harmonics Academy. I was inspired to create this membership and academy to bring together not only the transformative power of sound, but also a growing global community of faculty and teachers who are coming together to support you on your journey. So together, you will come and meet myself, others who are interested in spiritual growth, embodiment, soulful connection, opening their gifts, and we will gather weekly to explore, embody, and find our signature frequency. If this is interesting to you, feel free to check out the website or make a discovery call with me at paulascatalone.com. And now back to the podcast.
So it reminds me of the way that shadow work can be such a great container for holding some of these things that are so big. You mentioned the collective, right? Because it's hard to help people understand that we each hold fragments of what we see out there. That's a big ask, right? It's like,
yes.
What do you mean? You know, I'm just moving along, working on my own work. And so then we come in and say, well, there's an ancestral layer and then there's a collective layer. And so I love that archetypes allow us to do that, because then there's this shared perspective of this is an archetype. Can we all lean into it and feel it and feel what it means to each of us individually? So it's such an important piece of the shadow work in that phase that's not at the beginning of the awakening and it's not at the end, it's the in-between, which is not one night. It is a series of dark cycles. Let's call them cycles or spirals. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel called to say, you'll notice if you engage with the cards at any point, there's actually 34. The last card that revealed itself after that initial meditation, before they were fully birthed, was the ancestor code. So I felt like the ancestors came in as that 34th card and said, hey, we're here too. And you can do shadow readings with this body of work on your ancestor shadows, your ancestral shadows, and collective shadows. So I'm just so touched by and humbled by what the wholeness of this work and what it can show us, because it can be really tricky to look
they're
at
not
these
easy
spots.
Words. I've tried, you've given me a deck and I've used them. And sometimes it's like, that can't be possible. And then the more I sit with it, oh, okay.
Like, I want a new shadow.
I will not deny.
I
have done that. But I've stayed with them and they always reveal.
Me too.
And they've been super helpful. Yeah. So, but when we end today, we'll do a little reading and we'll make sure the link to these cards are in there. So I would like to talk a little bit about being a bridge builder for providers. We're both bridge builders. We have one foot in the old world in some ways, in terms of understanding how it operates and how people that are trained in that, you know, traditional therapeutic framework might be holding. And then we have, the opening to the mystery, the opening to not just the somatic, not just what lives in the body, but the soul, you know, and what does that mean to work with someone's soul? So let's talk for a moment about just being a bridge builder, and what we had a couple things about that before we came on to record that we thought might be important.
Yeah, I first feel called to say it wasn't ever my intention to do that, but you know, life has a way of revealing what we're meant to do and what we're capable of if we're willing to surrender and pay attention. You know, sometimes we're so attached to what we are and what we do and what our brand is that there's something truer that's trying to come in and we have to soften enough to see it. So over time, what I began seeing was people were asking me a lot of questions about how I did what I did, but also for permission to step beyond the traditional world into the more soulful world, perhaps bringing in intuition or bringing in, a lot of my clients are wildly connected to the ancestral realm and they know things about people that people never verbally said to them, but they can pick it up. And how do they give permission for that to be in healing spaces when that's really not currently honored, valued in the system that we know as mental health and psychotherapy. I think there's potentially more of it and more of us speaking out about it. I find the other really interesting thing is when people come to me one-on-one, they think they're the only one doing this. And then I say, oh, why don't you come into the portal and meet all the others of us who are also witchy and doing this, you know? And that to me is like bridging the gap. I keep hearing the word permission. It's just part of my bridging is permission to be who you are. Like you wouldn't have this gifts or have access to this medicine if you weren't meant to apply it. And whether you're meant to apply it in the situation or circumstance you're currently in, or whether you need to step out of that, I think everyone has their own journey. I don't feel married to telling anyone what to do, but that's another part of it. I'm a reflection of like, I hear your soul saying it needs a liberation. How do you feel called to liberate yourself? Not me telling you what the path is, right? That's the current system that is not honoring sovereignty.
Yeah, I feel it is a piece of the sovereignty movement to listen in and allow your gifts to come forward in a way that is they're here to serve at this time. Otherwise you wouldn't have them. And
yes.
So whether
Absolutely.
That is an integration and an expansion of your work or stepping into something new. And there is a Facebook page called the Witchy
Very
Therapist
much.
Facebook page. And there's an organization
okay.
who is, I think, doing a good job at developing organizational structures for intuitive therapists, intuitive counseling, right? So that more and more providers can bring more of their gifts. And then there's the ways in which we talk about resonance and coherence and that, you know, providers often use their own energy in the room and the degree to which you're aware of how your energy influences the room. So there's a steady, I think, transition happening. And then many types of therapy that are using indigenous wisdom, but just don't call it that. And that's what we do in my program is we unpack what that wisdom is so folks can see, oh, that particular type of somatic-based treatment is actually based on indigenous perspectives and universal principles, let's call them that.
Yes.
So there's so much here, but we you are a bridge builder. You are one to help hold someone's hand and help them cross over into this broader leap that many, many, many people are making into the evolution of our consciousness. And then within that, there's a specialty you have, which has to do with your relationship with receptivity and abundance. So let's tap into that a little bit.
Yeah. I think one of the most common ways that we are programmed in our collective consciousness currently is to be in an energy of scarcity, that there's not enough, that we're not enough, that we always have to be hustling and grinding and earning our way. And I have a way in which I have always challenged those ideas, like they just never felt like truth to me. And I was the first person in my graduate program to successfully complete a private practice internship and go on to start a private practice for psychotherapy right out of graduate school. I did an undergrad internship in an agency, and I very quickly knew I don't fit in here. One, I don't follow rules I don't agree with well. If people aren't being treated with dignity, I just am a no. I will stand up to that any day, any time. And I needed to have a space where I could be free to work the way that I was called to work. I also never was on insurance panels. I don't want to answer to someone who's not in the room when I'm providing care and holding this work. So people started asking me questions about that. How are you doing that? And I tried to help people build their practices from this sense of like what steps I took, you know, who I marketed with, how I networked. And I quickly found that most people couldn't replicate that in the same way that I did. And I had a professor, I remember, tell me like, Carrie, people aren't going to be able to do what you did. And I said, I just don't believe that. Like, I I just thank you. Like, I think it was a compliment. He was trying to say there was something special about me. And there's something special about all of us, but I didn't think the thing that was special about me was that I could build a private practice successfully and be abundant. So I just realized that there was something that I believed about the world that made it easier for me. And that was that there is enough and that you can do what you're here to do without being controlled by, you know, a third party. And I began exploring with people their subconscious beliefs. And the same way I help deprogram survivors of mind control and ritual abuse, I would help therapists and healers to deprogram their ancestral collective subconscious beliefs that were lodged in there, and they were continuing to create experiences of scarcity because they didn't know any other way. Like, they thought that's just how it is. So how that's evolved, you know, now I have Receptivity Portal Mystery School, which is really about not just being receptive to money or financial resource, but being receptive to what the divine would have for each of us in terms of what we be, what we do, and what we have. And yeah, I teach a methodology called mature manifestation, where it's beyond, you know, what we're told, like ask, believe, receive, you know, just put it on your vision board. It's like there are principles and aspects of truth inside of that, but there's so much more in terms of how we work with the energy of creation and how we partner with the divine. And we have to discern what our ego is requesting and what our soul is requesting. And I find it really beautiful to do this work with healers and spiritually aware entrepreneurs in particular, because I feel like we're the ones that are leading the way in terms of humanity's awakening. And so those of us that own businesses and have more freedom with the choices that we make and how we use our resources more consciously, and then certainly the healers, you know, if we're scarce and we don't have what we need and our nervous systems are in a freeze response or a flight response, we most certainly can't serve the medicine we came to serve. And I think in a way that's by design, because the powers that be don't love us to be in our power, don't love us to be able to see these things. But nonetheless, it is our time to see those things and to be resourced and to not be ashamed to have resource and to not believe that when we have resource, we take resource away from other people.
Yeah, so getting the resources in the right hands.
There is
too,
a frequency
of the helpers, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Because then there's, you know, generosity and sharing. And but I find one of our wounds is trying to give before we are resourced. And that's challenging. So to de-shame, you know, wealthy healers, healers that feel good, healers that are not overworked, healers that have money and, you know, are not living paycheck to paycheck, like all of these things feel really important to me, because I've noticed there is like a flag, like, oh, I'm a poor healer, but I'm helping people. And it's like, yeah, let's put that down and let's help people from a place of fullness, and not believe that we have to be broke or broken to do good work in this world.
It's in line with teachers and the professions of which there's helping, but they're not valued, right? And so how do we value the aspects of our humanity? And this is part of that collective evolution that we've, you know, not put as something that is important for the building of who we are as people in communities and organizations and society, right? Because we've tossed all that. It's like we're pulling at scraps to try to show up in the world, and it doesn't make for a good human. It doesn't. So I do think that this is a piece of restructuring of the system that needs to happen. And then a learning of how to, you know, develop reciprocity with money and finances, and that it's all energy. And so our relationship to that energy and reciprocity, and what does that mean? So
So much there. Well, let's anchor in this last piece and have you do a reading. We talked about you doing a reading and share a little bit of the shadow cards with our audience.
Absolutely. So I'm going to shuffle the deck and request that it pick up on the energy of our listeners. No matter time and space, it will pick up on who is here, who is meant to hear this. And I'm going to pull two cards. So as I do, I want you to be feeling into whether card number one or card number two is going to reveal a shadow pattern that is prioritizing for healing within you. And so I have those cards out now. And I invite you to feel into whether card one or two is for you. And Paula, do you want to reveal which one you're feeling for yourself?
We check in intuitively.
Okay,
so each of the listeners, go ahead and check in. I'm going to do that too. For me, it's one.
So we'll reveal that one first. So listeners, if you've you can certainly receive the clearing of either shadow that gets revealed, but if you selected number one, it's the shadow of fear. The shadow of fear, you know, and of course, we all hold this within at different levels, and there's different layers over time. And certainly for you, Paula, I mean, right now, it's like there's a huge birthing happening for you in the academy, and your body of work is expanding and you're reaching more people. So there's a way that our human self is certainly terrified about that. And this one clears in the root chakra. So as we acknowledge the fear and come into remembering that it's safe to be here, it's safe to take up the space that we were rightfully born to take up, that we can begin to dissolve some of that. And I will share these images with you, Paula, if you want to share them with the episode. Looking at the card, it's five layers deep. These are multidimensional, and they begin to work at the cellular level to reconfigure that energy in your system. And there's also a booklet that comes with the cards. I'm feeling called to have us work with the healing mantra. Each card has a healing mantra. And the card also says, this moment is inviting you to simultaneously hold your fear with the divine knowing of your infinite safety and protection. Now is not the time for a spiritual bypass or ignoring of your human experience. When this card shows up, it's inviting a compassionate recognition of and connection with the parts of you that are afraid. And the healing mantra is, I am worthy of honoring my human fears and remembering my infinite safety in the arms of the divine.
Yeah,
just letting that work its magic.
For the timing.
It's really,
given the podcast that just aired today.
Absolutely. Yes. I can't wait to listen. Yes. Beautiful. So let that work its magic. Let this be easy. You know, I think we've been taught that healing is hard, and yes, there certainly are challenging moments, but when we understand vibration and frequency and energy, there's a way that, like, just opening and letting that vibration in, it knows what to do. It's infinitely wise. It knows where to go. It knows where that fear is lodged, and it can dislodge it.
That's how I work with music. It's exactly that. Everything is sentient. Everything is sentient. Beautiful.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Yeah, let's give them.
We ready for number two?
Number two.
So number two is an interesting one because one of the amplifier cards came with it. And so an amplifier card is the ancestor code. That's one of the amplifiers. And what it tells us is that this pattern is actually something from the ancestry that has been passed down, and that you have been tasked with moving it for the collective. So the energy that is coming up here is the frequency of blame, the shadow of blame. Now, this can go in either direction. This can be somewhere that you're blaming, or your ancestors have blamed instead of taken responsibility. But it can also be you being on the receiving side of blame, where something isn't necessarily your responsibility. So you'll have to feel into and journey with this to feel the truth of which angle. And it could be a little bit of both. Actually, let me. Yeah, I'm picking up on there being the projection of blame in your direction. That's more what is scanning higher. So you may know what that is. You may not. You may not even realize you're taking responsibility for something that someone's blaming that is really not yours. So this is how the shadow works. It's like as you, that could really be sucking up a lot of energy, and you can release that as you come into right relationship with what's actually true. So let me offer the healing mantra for this card, because we want to let this go. The other thing I want to say about this, if you notice, both of these cards are purple. This energy clears in the third eye and the crown. So what this gives us more access to is our ability to see through illusion and our ability to connect with the God of our understanding. So when we have these shadow patterns lodged in different energy centers, they keep them from being fully harmonized and balanced. And so we don't fully benefit from the gifts that they offer us when they're clean and clear. So I love this, because right now we do need to be seeing through illusion and reconnecting with everything that is, was, and ever will be. Okay. I love it. Here it is, the healing mantra. I am worthy of taking full responsibility for what is mine and releasing what is not.
Just let the listeners take that in.
Yeah. Yeah, and they want me to read this one more thing. The invitation for you right now is, are you willing to own your part and release the rest to the divine for clearing? So I imagine a lot of your listeners tend to absorb and take on like a sponge. So we're kind of wringing that sponge out, like what's me, what's not, and yeah, really standing in our power, that it's no longer, it's too much of a burden for us to carry what isn't ours. And we can alchemize that, we can dissolve that, and we can get about the business of being who we are, because it's all hands on deck right now. So we can't be bogged down by this anymore. I feel like a lot of us, shown for years, like we're sitting on a runway. We don't have clearance for takeoff. Like a lot of my clients would be like, why can't I say the thing? Why? And they would always want to make it a thing. Like, oh, maybe I'm traumatized. Maybe I was like, maybe it's just not time. Like, maybe it's just, you just keep cultivating, keep feeling, keep listening. And now it's like,
yeah,
clearance.
That's what it feels like.
Take
that's
off.
What it feels
green
like.
Lights.
What a beautiful healing. Yeah. Thank you so much for bringing this into the space. I could
You're
feel
so
it.
You're welcome.
Something switched energetically between us once we started that. So just let that kind of continue to move through. If you're with us, and we'll put a link to the cards themselves if you want to see them, hold them in your hand and have a relationship with them, as well as a link to the website in general where we can hear more about what you're doing. So as we end the conversation, I'm going to first end with two questions I'm going to pose to you, because it feels like with this podcast, I don't do it with every guest anymore, but some of them, it feels like it's important to just end with two questions. So I'm going to do that, and then we'll talk about what you're offering. So the questions I have for you that came up when we first met was, what do you wish you had known in your awakening process? As you look back on it now.
So many things, but the thing that's coming through right now is I wish I had known that it would be hard. And when it's hard, that doesn't mean I'm doing something bad or wrong. It's just a part of the climb when your soul chose a path that is what it is one of awakening, is one of evolving, is one of bringing gifts and medicine and work here that has been undercover for a long time. And I wish I had known that I could be more gentle and graceful with myself, and that those hard times would be worth it. On the other side, they were forging me, they were preparing me, and what they birthed, yeah, was worth every ache and pain, both physical and mental. Yeah.
And hence the need to be in contact with people who have kind of gotten over the hump, or might help you with your healing, or
yes,
be in a community, because it's not a smooth ride, and it's not linear at all.
No. And if you're looking at memes on social media, you know, there's either one side or the other, that like it all sucks and it's terrible, or, you know, that they give these quick fixes or these overnight things. And it's like, yes, miracles happen. And yes, there are things that pop in quickly, but more often than not, it takes time. Like it's not overnight. And
okay. Beautiful.
And it's okay.
And what would be one thing, if you could, I know there's so many, what would be one thing though that is going to be helpful for someone to they could use or apply or explore?
The piece that I'm remembering right now is how important it is to be discerning with how and where you put your attention, who you spend your time with, where you spend your time, how you spend your time. Our attention and energy is a really precious resource. And if you are on this path of awakening and spiritually evolving, it's most efficient when we are in environments that nurture that, that honor that. And there are many people, places, environments that siphon the energy or that keep us like aligned with the programs that are not true and are distorted. So I think now more than ever, if you're listening to this podcast, that feels like important, an important reminder. I do that daily, and people don't always love my boundaries. I give a lot of no thank yous. I give a lot of that's not resonating. But as we're awakening, and I'm not saying get rid of everyone in your life by any means, I'm just saying pay attention to what you're drawn to. And if you imagine the version of you that is on the other side of this piece of evolution, how would they choose to spend their time? And let that wisdom inform some choices you could be making to protect and honor the sacredness of your energy.
So where can we find you, and what type of offerings are you providing, including, let's highlight that you are one of the faculty of this academy that's launching formally in June, and you'll be teaching some of this wisdom within that academy. So where can we find you, and what are your offerings? And
so my primary home base online is carrienola.com. That's where all my work lives. And I have some free things. We talked about money today. One of the things I created that I'm really proud of is it's a complimentary gift on my site, and it's a money date journal. So it guides you through a practice that helps you get into relationship with your money as a resource. And there's, I think, 15 or 20 prompts that you use. This is actually the resource that helped me repair my relationship with money. I dedicated myself to a year of working with these prompts. And on the other side of that, I had paid off a significant amount of debt. I had begun to build up a savings account. I was out of this feast and famine cycle that I was so used to. And I never went back to that old way on the other side of that, because yeah, everything is relationship. And it's hard to, when we're in relationship and right relationship with something, it tends to flourish. So that's on there. Receptivity Portal Remembership Mystery School is the place that I play with my community each week. We do breathwork sessions. I offer energetic transmissions. We have mentorship calls. All of my teachings live there. We have community co-working. So that's the space where, yeah, from week to week, the majority of my things. And if you want to go deeper with me, I occasionally have space for soul mentorship paths for 6 months or a year. And shadow cards, shadow card transmissions, you can use them yourself. You can also get a reading from me as well in a clearing. So there's so many things. They all live there. See what resonates. Would love to meet you in any of them.
Well, be sure to check out her website and can come back to this podcast. I know we covered a ton, so feel free to revisit this again. And I have thoroughly enjoyed. I feel like we could talk for another hour if we had time, but we will end today. And I'm going to look forward to having you as part of the Academy. And I'm so thrilled to share your work and your story with our listeners. So thank you for your time.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been so fun.
Thank you for being a part of the Transformative Harmonics podcast. If this discussion resonated with you, please subscribe, share the episode, or write a review. This helps to support the expanding community around embodiment, sound, and conscious living. You can visit Transformative Harmonics at paulascatoloni.com to find out more about my work, forthcoming classes, and the Transformative Harmonics Academy. You can also reach out and connect with me on Instagram. My handle is at paulascatoloni. I write regularly on Substack at Signature Frequency Living. Until next time, take good care, and thank you for being part of the journey.